Brother Bo's back there. He's on the other side of those doors. And I told him, if somebody comes out, you send them right back in. Let's turn to Romans 5 and or Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto his grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, and not only, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely, I say, for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a man some would even dare to die. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions. Who is the figure of him that was to come? But in the offense, so also is free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more they receive, which receive abundance of grace, and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by righteousness of one, the free gift come upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your word, Lord, and we just hope that you'll speak to our hearts, Lord, and by your word, and Lord, that you'll help us to grow and become stronger in your word, Lord, and we just pray that you'll help us to hear it and be changed by it, Lord, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, since this is just post-Thanksgiving, I wanted us to think about being thankful. I wanted us to realize something of what we were, what we are as man. Because if we don't realize who we are, we can't realize how thankful we really should be. I hope, and I hope that everybody here is saved this morning and knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But that might not be so. So this is definitely for you, but it's also for all of us, because we need to remember who we are in Christ and how we got there. So what is man? So if we turn to Genesis 2 and verse 7, let's go ahead and open up to Genesis chapter 2. And verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed life into his nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So if we start out there and we see what man is, he's just dust. How many of you all like dealing with dust every day? It gets stuck on the fans, it stays there. It's pretty worthless, and in fact, it's a nuisance. Genesis 3:9. Sorry about that. Well, that doesn't seem to be what I'm looking for. I'm sorry about that. But we see what man is. He's just dust. From dust he came, and dust he'll return. It's pretty useless. And I think that if we really got into the fullness of it, without Christ, that's what we are. In Romans 3:10, if we turn over there, this is going to go really fast if we're not careful. I'm not nervous, I'm terrified up here, by the way. I thought if I dressed up, maybe nobody would notice how, but. I can almost always just absolutely recite Romans 3:10 because it's just there, but for the sake of not making a mistake. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what can we think about? I mean, we know we're sinners, right? When sinners are disobedient, they're pretty rotten people. We've disobeyed God. And then in Romans 5:8, which we read a moment ago, what does Romans 5:8 describe us as? Before we're saved, obviously, but described us as an enemy. And I think of things about an enemy. There's hatred there. We hated God. That's where I was. That's where we were. If you're not saved today, you're against God. You're at enmity with him. You're on two separate sides. And for those of us who are saved today, I want us to realize what we have. You know, so many times I've taught youth and young people for close to 20 years now. And you know one thing that I see in them? Entitlement. And if you ask yourself, where does entitlement come from? that comes from their parents. And their parents have decided somehow that they've become entitled to something, so the kids emulate their parents and the entitlement. Because we're not truly, really thinking about what we are, where we come from, how thankful we should be for what God has done for us. In Romans 1, I think it's chapter 1 and 123, I think it says, well, why don't we just turn there? We're really close. Let's go ahead. I'm just going to go ahead and start it. Romans 1 and verse 20. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and the Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, by a showing of hands, how many of you know God? I want you to know that Satan himself would raise his hand and say, I know God. The demons they knew God. We got to have a separation there. We've got to have something that goes a step further than just knowing God. But for that when they knew God, let's go a little bit further. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I worry for us as Christians, we know who God is. But do we have actions that show it? Do we daily show thanks to God so that not just so that we know that we know, but our children are supposed to know that we know? Because without that, the world becomes vain. We think about our entitlement. I think entitlement comes from a vanity of something is owed to me because of who I am. Nothing is owed to me because of who I am. Certainly not my salvation. Absolutely not. Not even slightly. My salvation is a complete gift of God. Nothing that I did myself. I just accepted it. I believed him and I accepted it. Man, am I thankful for that. What I am does not deserve what he has done. But he did it anyway. God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's an absolute. We're not entitled to that. And that's what I want us to realize, is that, man, we ought to be thankful for it. Even when we don't see all the things to be thankful for, I read a study last night on being thankful, and it was done by Harvard, which is, if you know, Harvard used to be a great school once upon a time. They used to teach Bible, and that's why they became such a great law school. And then the law has perverted them into what they are today. But they did a study on being thankful, and they found that it changes everything about you, actually. It actually puts you in a better mood. So they did this study. They had three groups, I believe it was. One group, they said, write down so many things. You don't have to be thankful or sad about them, but just write them down. Just 10 things, highlights of your day or whatever. Write them down. And another group, they wrote down 10 things that they were glad for, 10 things that they were grateful for, 10 things that they were glad for. 10 things. And then they have another group. They wrote down 10 things that irritated them about each day. And then they took these big, long tests and to see how happy they were. And it turns out that the people that were writing down things that they were thankful for tended to be happier. There was less depression among them. Their outlook on life was better. And the same, it stayed pretty true for the ones who just wrote down 10 things of the day. Didn't focus in on anything. They didn't tell them to. They just said, write down 10 things. They didn't say anything about being grateful or glad about them. But of those people who were not instructed to directly write down things that they were glad for, things that irritated them, they found a majority of the ones who said that they were glad for this, this, and this, they were just happier. They were. The song goes, count your many blessings. I don't think it's untrue. And the Bible tells us, and this is the will of God, that you be thankful. And we'll find that verse in a minute, but, or at least I hope we will. I think that a big problem is that what scares me is that we're not showing that we're thankful. We may be very thankful, but we're not showing it. It kind of takes an action. If you're grateful for something, it'll show up. So what I want us to do is not just be thankful for this Thanksgiving, not just for the near future. Think about further out. Just start being thankful. And as we read Romans 5:8, or not 5:8, but Romans 5, there's some verses to highlight there for us. And in verse 3, Romans chapter 5, verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. How many of you glory in the trials that you have throughout the day? You can write them down as something that was good that happened to you for that day. Paul was locked up in prison and he started singing songs, glorifying God. Look at that. That Harvard study, though it's silly, people who are grateful tend to be grateful. And if you're one of the people who are entitled, watch out, because God has something better for you or worse between how you look at your outlook. Just be thankful. Be thankful in the hard times. Be thankful in the good times. Remember who we are. Job went through, and at the end of the story of Job, who am I to question such a God as you? Who am I? Well, this is who we are. We're rotten, reprobate sinners. That's who I am. Who am I to question God? He has something great for me planned. I'm sure of it. Let's be thankful. Be thankful for the good times. Be thankful for the hard times. God has a way of putting things together that we can't understand, that we can't see the start and the finish of. The hard times that Israel goes through to end up in the land of milk and honey. The hard times that you'll hear about the reformers and people who have gone through drugs and alcohol and all these really hard things in life and what they're saved from. You know what, if they didn't go through those hard times, maybe they would never come to know God. Or better yet, not just know God, but know who Christ is. That's what's important. Satan himself will say he knows God. But only a saved person will say that they know who Christ is. Be thankful. It doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how hard it is. Who am I? Remember what Job said. Who am I to question God? So, man, we are dust. We are sinners. We are corruptible, from Romans 1:23 is what I was going to read at one point. We are just corruptible men. We're nothing special. Our God is special and deserving of our thanks and our gratefulness. So I just want you all to know, we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 here, and then we're going to finish, but we're going to spend a little bit of time because I've gotten through my notes really fast, but also I think that we all need some time to tell God. You don't have to tell it. In fact, don't tell it to the church. Tell it to God. Write down those 10 things on your heart that you're thankful for. And then we're going to have a extended time for an altar call so that we can come before God and just praise Him. Because if we did nothing else today, He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of our thankfulness. He's worthy of our worship. And then we'll end in another song where we'll sing as a congregation. But man, it's so important that we remember where we were, what we had, and what we've come from. And just think about that for a moment. What was our destination before God died on the cross and paid for our sins, before we accepted that? What was our destination? What were we owed? Romans 6:23 says, can we say that together? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I spent all my time dressing up this morning instead of gathering up my Bible, which I had had bookmarks in it, so it takes me a little bit longer. So 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Sorry. In everything. For just a moment, do we know what everything is? It's both good and bad, or apparently so, to us who can't see things as God does. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So I didn't take that verse out of context, but I took that verse and I focused in on this very small passage of it, because there are many things that we are to do as Christians. But today I wanted us to focus in on this, since this is the weekend after Thanksgiving. I want us to know that God's will is that we be thankful for everything. Just be thankful. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be the hardest thing you go through in life. Be thankful for it. It'll change your outlook on how things are going in your life. It'll ward off depression. I believe that it'll ward off evil spirits that might be working in your life. It'll just change your outlook. And it's also proven secularly. Not just the Bible says it, which I absolutely believe that the Bible is wholly true. And if the secular world didn't say it, I would still believe what God's word says. But the Harvard study also proves it. It's not a matter of what I say. It's a matter of God said it, I believe it. And then the world also proves it. God says it. And then in all things, the world, if you actually listen to it, also says it. Not necessarily the world, but earth. The place we stand on declares God, declares Christ. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. You guys want to know what the will of God is for you today? It's pretty simple. It's all of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but we can very really focus in on this because this is Thanksgiving weekend. It's that you be thankful for everything, in everything. Where did I come from? What am I owed? Well, it's the wages of sin is what I'm owed. It's to spend eternity in hell is what I'm owed. I'm so glad that that verse didn't end there. I'm so grateful that that verse doesn't end there. And that's what I want us to remember today. Be thankful that God's word doesn't end at the wages of sin is death. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Like I said, we're going to have an extended time for an altar call. You don't have to come forward. But I do like, I remember being a young man, seeing men come to the altar and just pour themselves out before God. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's a great thing. But I don't think that there's anything necessarily wrong with staying in your pew either. But how much does it show when you're willing to get out of your spot and go get on your face before God? I'm not. Like I said, we'll have an extended altar call this morning. Be thankful. If you can't find something to be thankful for the things that you're not thankful for. I promise it'll change what you're thinking, how you're doing. As the piano begins to play, talk to God. Nothing else. Just ask. Just show him how grateful you are for what you have, for the salvation that you've been given. Be thankful.